Today, if you weren't able to have your mother with you, perhaps she either passed on or lives somewhere else, we encourage people to bring photos of their mothers in so that we could honor them. And we have several here this morning, and it's always a blessing to see those and to try to figure out who belongs to who. So if you didn't get a chance to see them, you can do that after service today. Pray for Sister Dawn as she shares with us.
I can just see them walking on the shores of heaven. They're praising the Lord and watching the tide roll in. Friends that have gone on, oh, how I miss you so. Somehow I know if you could, you'd let me know. You're doing fine and it doesn't hurt anymore. Things couldn't be better and heaven is worth waiting. What you'd say to me, wish you were here, it's such a beautiful place, wish you were here, nothing but clear sunny days, it never complains, and we've never seen a tear. We're having a great time. Wish you were here. I can just see on the shores together. They're talking with Jesus. They're safe and secure in His love. Friends and loved ones walking in heavenly place. Wish you were here.
Thank you, Sister Dawn. Word on anyone's heart before I get to the word today. That song has special meaning to us. That song was one of the songs that was sung at our son's funeral. And it encourages my heart when I hear the words to think about what heaven must be like and what they're doing up there, and the promise and assurance that I know that I'm going there because of my salvation experience. I expect to see my son there because of his salvation experience. I expect to see other family members there. And I don't know exactly what heaven's going to be like. The Bible gives us some glimpses and gives us some pictures. And I know it's going to be far greater, far better, more beautiful than anything that this mind could ever imagine. But I enjoy thinking about what they're doing and how blessed it must be, and looking forward to either the Lord's return and gathering together or my going. Either way, I know where I'm going. I hope you do too today. Any other word, anyone's heart? If not, I desire your prayers this morning as I try to share what's on my heart. You know, in our country, we draw special attention to certain or specific days that hold special meaning throughout the year. You know, 4th of July, Independence Day, and Memorial Day, and Labor Day, and Veterans Day, and Thanksgiving Day, and so many others. And we're gathered today, of course, to worship the Lord, but it's also a special day that we recognize in our nation. And as Brother Allen has said, and I have said, and said to others as you came in, today we recognize Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is a special day. And I hope today, and I want to share with you a little bit about this, but, you know, we know that parents are important in the lives of their children. And, you know, fathers are important too, but this isn't Father's Day. This is Mother's Day. And we all know the importance of the influence that a mother has in the life of a child and in the life of a family. And Mother's Day for me is it's a wonderful day, but it's a bittersweet day for me. My mother went on to be with the Lord when she was 49 years old. And as I was thinking about today, and I was thinking about the message, it hadn't occurred to me until this morning that this year I have been without my mother as long as I had her. I was 31 years old when my mother passed away, and I've lived another 31 years since that. You can do the math. You know what it is. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Her influence has been with me my entire life. And, you know, the Bible tells us about many mothers. The Bible gives us record of the influences of many mothers. And, you know, some of those biblical examples are positive influences, and some of them are negative influences. And as I was thinking about people in the Bible, there was Rebecca. And Rebecca was the mother of Jacob and Esau. And if you were to ask her, if you were to ask us, was she a positive influence or was a negative influence? And the answer to that would be yes. She was both. She was a positive influence as well as a negative influence. And if you know that biblical record, you understand what I'm talking about. And then there was Jochebed, which was Moses' mother. She was a positive influence. There was Naomi. And Naomi loved her son's wife, Ruth. And she was a positive influence. We all know about Hannah in the Word of God, the mother of Samuel. She had a very positive influence on her son. Of course, there was Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and so many in the Bible. So which one are you preaching on, Pastor? I'm not preaching on any of those, although every one of those that I mentioned are certainly worthy to be focused on. I want to draw your attention to 2 Timothy. If you have a Bible with you or one in the pew there, I'm going to read a few verses from 2 Timothy. And I'm going to begin with 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And it tells us there, "Thou therefore, my son, Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So Paul is giving instruction to Timothy. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, no man warreth, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, but that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Wait a second. Am I in the right spot? I'm in the wrong chapter. Let's go again. 2 Timothy chapter 1, not chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 2 is good too. Some good stuff there follows. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Here's what I want to get to. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. That's where I wanted to be. That's the first 6 verses of the first chapter of 2 Timothy. I want to take a text this morning from Proverbs 31 and 30, another very familiar portion of God's Word that talks about mothers. But I want to share a portion of verse 30, which tells us, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And I want you to think with me for just a few moments this morning about motherly influence. I want us to think about this morning about the effect. I want to think about the encouragement. I want to think about the inspiration that mothers can have on their families and on their children. My reading from 2 Timothy first mentioned a woman by the name of Lois. She had a daughter who was named Eunice, who had a son who was named Timothy. Both of these women, I believe as we look at the Scripture, they were women and they were mothers of influence. And that influence was so great that God chose them to be mentioned by the Apostle Paul in the Scriptures, to be read, to be heard of, to be understood of, not just in that day, but for every generation henceforth until the end of time. So there was something significant about this. That was recorded in God's Word, that their influence would go from one generation to another generation to another generation. The influence of Lois and Eunice on Timothy would equip him to be one of the first leaders of the Lord's church. Now, what can we learn today from these mothers of so long ago that can help our mothers of today? You know, I believe God's Word is a book of instructions. It helps us with things that we should do, and it helps us with things that we shouldn't do. And it's a place where we can go and we can be not only fed, but encouraged, but guided and directed through the Word by the Holy Spirit of God to accomplish great things. And we can look and we can find things in the mothers that we find and recorded in God's Word that can help mothers today to be strong, can help mothers today to be powerful and to have positive influence on their children's life. And I want us to look at these today as I try to share with you. In the book of Acts, in the 26th chapter, in the first verse, we read, then came he, and it was referring to the Apostle Paul, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now, the certain woman that Paul was referring to here, it was Timothy's mother, Eunice. And she lived in Lystra, which today is Turkey. The Bible says she was a Jewish woman who had become a Christian. She had become a child of God. I believe that was probably as a result of the influence of her godly mother sharing the gospel of Jesus with her. But there was something that was going on in Eunice's family. She was married, the Bible said, to a Greek. And when we read that in the Word of God, it's the Bible's way of saying that he was an unbeliever. She was married to a man who was unsaved. So Timothy, he was, I guess we could say he was raised in a split household. His mother was a Christian, but his daddy was not. And this is not unique. Many children today find themselves in a similar situation, and that's not an easy situation to raise children in. And I realize that it's hard to be able to instill Christian values in a home where there's only one that of the parents that is a Christian who is trying to bring these values into it. But Eunice is mentioned here in 2 Timothy. To me, it can be thought of as an example. To me, it's a compliment, and it can be an encouragement that despite whatever our mothers may find themselves, whatever difficult circumstance they may find themselves in, I want you to know that Eunice here, we have a record, she raised Timothy, and she raised him with Christian values, and you can do the same thing, and we can read God's Word and see how this young man Timothy was used by God in a great and mighty way as a result of those things. So mothers today, if you're a mother in that same situation, maybe you're here today and you have a husband who is unsaved, and maybe you are just a single parent today that's trying to raise children, you can have the hope that we see recorded in God's Word by the example of Eunice today. Let it encourage you. These are difficult times that we live in. Our world is changing. And our young people today, our children today, they need to know Jesus. They need to know who He is. They need to know that there's right and wrong in the world, not just based on what the world tells them, but what the Word of God tells them. They need that influence. They need that guidance. And they need that direction. And I would say to you mothers today, be encouraged in your situation. And I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. Nothing ever worthwhile is easy. But what I'm trying to say this morning is don't compromise your faith. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is don't let go of your faith. The world today will pull at you and they will tell you that this is okay and that's okay. But if it goes against God's Word, it's not okay. Don't compromise. Don't let the world cause you to compromise. And don't let Jesus and His teaching get kicked out of your household. Wives, love your husbands. I know sometimes we're not the easiest things to love. We're not so lovable. But I want to share with you what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 16. He said, For thou knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband. And what does that mean? I think what it means is that you need to let them, you need to let those, your husband, you need to let your children, you need to let them see Jesus living in you. You need to let them see what a real Christian looks like and how they live and how they conduct themselves. You need to let your children see what a real Christian looks like. Let me just say this to you. You never know how God is going to use you to bring your family together into a Christian household. Dawn, how long did your mother live as a Christian before your dad, before he got saved? You remember? 9 years, some many more years than that. But what I'm trying to say is she never gave up. She brought those children to church every Sunday. She even invited the pastor home to dinner at her house where her lost husband was. She exposed him to that. And you know, God got a hold of his heart. And God burdened him and convicted him. He was an alcoholic for all practical purposes. But you know what? God got a hold of him. He dumped every bit of alcohol in his house down that drain. The Lord saved his soul. He never touched another drop. And he became one of the most faithful Christians that were in that church. She never gave up on what God could do. She never stopped living a Christian life before him. And if we do that, we never know how God's going to use us. Not only did her husband get saved, but every single child in that family got saved as a result of that. God works in great ways. I'm trying to tell you this morning, strive to keep your family together. It's so easy today to just give up and write off marriage. It's happening all the time. And sometimes I understand there's no other choice. But you know what? That should be the last option. That should be the last option. Our society, and this is pastor's opinion, but our society has made it too easy and acceptable for a few hundred dollars and a lawyer. You can throw away a marriage and you can throw away that relationship and you can move on. But I'm going to tell you this. In my ministry, 40 years in the ministry, I've had many people that have found them in a situation where they divorced because it was easy. And they came back and they said, that's the biggest mistake that I ever made. So we need to strive. Do we need to try to keep our families together? In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 13 instructed this. It said, and the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Again, God's will is for families to stay together. Wives, never stop praying for your husbands. Influence them for Christ. Mothers, pray. Be that influence for your children. Preserve, protect, defend, uphold your families. You know, mothers can be a strong influence right now in whatever situation that you find yourselves in. There's just something about mothers. Our son Adam and his wife Courtney and their two children, Benny, he's 5 months, 6 months old now. Lucy's four. They came in just, well, two nights and one day, really. They left early this morning. But I noticed something about Courtney. You know, Benny, 5 months old, he's a good boy. But boy, he can get angry. He can cry and he can make all kinds of commotion and his feet never stop kicking and he's, you know, and I wanted to hold him as much as I could and love on him and hug him. But boy, anytime he went into one of those things, who was the first person that came to him? It was mommy. He wanted his mommy and his mommy came to him and she could calm him down and quiet him down when I couldn't. And there's something special about a relationship between a mother and her children and certainly worthy to be praised for. As we see in this record that I read before us in 2 Timothy in the first chapter here, Lois, Eunice, mothers of influence. Not only do mothers influence in the physical development of their children, but they also are involved in the spiritual development of their children. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we're all familiar with this. It's probably one of the most significant verses on the characteristics of the Bible that we read. And it tells us there that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. It tells us here that all of these verses, they are God-breathed. And Paul, he wanted to make sure that Timothy, and really all of us, I believe, hold to and we uphold the inspired truth of the Word of God. Now, Paul started talking about the Scriptures in verse 14. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then he went on to say in verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So we find out that Timothy had learned and he had known the Bible from a very small child. And we read in verse 5 where Timothy's mother and his grandmother started that teaching very early on. So they were influencing Timothy, how they were influencing him with the Word of God from the very start, from the time that he was able to understand. And you understand what I'm talking about. You know, Benny, he's 5 months old. You know, he's just starting to get up and he's wanting to crawl, but he just can't figure it out. But already, he's being taught about Jesus. You know, I sang This Little Light of Mine, the B-I-B-L-E. I tried everything to help him calm down. but he was hearing it and he's learning it and he'll learn it. And then we start very young, to get them to learn. And, you know, mothers, as I said, how we honor you today. The title of my message is Mother's Influence. And you can and you do have a huge influence on your children, on the physical development, on the spiritual development of your children. You know, before this coronavirus pandemic came upon us, too many parents, as I look around in our community and see what's going on, too many parents, they depended on others for their children's physical and their spiritual development. They depended on the school system to teach their children so they might be able to grow physically. I'm talking about mentally, learning their reading and their writing and arithmetic and all of those things, helping them to learn how to conduct themselves that they might be able to function properly in our society today. And they depended on the church to be able to teach their children about Jesus and to raise them to know Jesus. And that's important. The schools and the church has an important part in all of that. But listen, things changed a little bit, didn't they? We had the cancellation of school. School's out for whoever knows how long. Churches like us, we had to suspend our services. I think we suspended our services for about 6 weeks, and we're still not back to Sunday school and some of the other services that we have. So because of all of this, it caused families to have to reevaluate how their children's physical and their spiritual growth needs, how they were going to be met. And it forced many to stop outsourcing their children's needs and once again take a first-hand approach in that. And like Lois and like Eunice, you know, we need mothers that are teaching their children about Jesus. We need mothers that are teaching them about the Bible while they're young. We need mothers who children see sitting in their house with a Bible on their lap and reading the Word of God. We need children that are being influenced toward the Lord by their mothers. You know, our church covenant that we have, and most churches have a church covenant hanging on their wall. Ours you passed in the foyer when you came in. Our church covenant supports this. In paragraph 3 of our church covenant, it says, we also engage. That word engage means we pledge. It means we promise. We also engage to maintain family devotion, to religiously educate our children, to see the salvation of our kindred. That's our pledge. That's to be the desire of our hearts for our children. That's our responsibility. That's our duty. Yes, we are thankful for our school system. Yes, we're thankful for our churches. But it takes a family. It takes a community of people working to encourage and to influence and uplift and let children know that they need to know Jesus, that they need to be saved, and to let them know that they can achieve many great things in this life as we encourage them. You know, it's sad to say that there's too many that I've seen that they discourage children. They don't encourage children. And my goodness, we wonder why there's so much sadness and why there's so much trouble and why there's so many other things that go on in the world that shouldn't go on today. We need to encourage them. And I'm thankful that our mothers can encourage our children. And, you know, this encouragement that we see in Lois and we see in Eunice toward Timothy, I said, they're a great example of what's being taught from generation to generation to generation. Here we have a mother that was named Lois. And the influence, it wasn't just on the next generation, but we see it to the next generation and possibly even generations beyond that. As Lois influenced Eunice, and Lois, I believe, influenced Timothy. And again, as I said, that probably went on many other generations as they passed on their love for the Lord down through generation after generations. And to all of the mothers that are gathered here with us today, my point is you can be a mother that influences generations to come. You know, we live in a world today, as I said, where people are finding a different path. All you got to do is look in churches today and look at the numbers in the congregation, look at the ages in congregations. We are blessed here at Crossroads. It thrills my heart to see all of these young people that we have. But let me tell you this morning, we're not the norm. We're the exception. We're blessed. A lot of churches don't have that. But we need that. And we need mothers and fathers that bring their children to church so that they can understand just how important that is in their lives. And I believe that, you know, You know what you got to do. You got to pour yourself into your children's lives. That's what we have to do. You know, we've got to show them what a real Christian looks like. We've got to show them by the way that we live and by the way that we conduct our lives. What they see here shouldn't be anything different than what they see at home. And we've got to strive to do that. And the role never ends. You never really stop being a mother. You know, our children always need mentoring. I still mentor to Adam. You know, he's old enough to decide what he wants to do with the information that I share with him. And Dawn does the same thing. But they're passing on what we've passed on to them, to their children. But you know what? Dawn is still mothering. You know, she was my first go-to. She got Benny first. And then when she, you know, we had to bail each other out in this thing. But there's just something about a mother that they continue to do, whether it goes into their children or their grandchildren. And what a blessing grands are. Can I get an amen on that? I'm thankful for my grandkids. And you may be in a situation like me where your grandchildren live several hundred miles away from you. So every moment you get is certainly precious time. When you are with them, you may not be able to run. You may not be able to chase them around because of some physical limitation you might have. But there's a lot of other things you can do with them. You can certainly pray with them, and you can pray for them, and you can share with them your love for the Lord and what He's done in your life. And there's things that you can do with them that doesn't require a lot of running around. One of my fondest memories of my grandmother was going out on her porch. They lived in Virginia, and we'd go visit them several times a year. And she'd always take time out, and we'd go out and sit on the porch, and she'd bring out her Chinese checkers. And that was her game. And we loved to sit on the porch and play Chinese checkers. And, you know, those are special things that grandmothers do, and amongst other things. Never take for granted a motherly influence. The impact on our children, it's just immeasurable. And particularly when it comes to influencing them in the faith. I believe because of Eunice's and Lois's dedication, because of their love for the Lord, they made a difference in the life of Timothy. And you can study the life of Timothy and see what he was to the Apostle Paul and all the things that they accomplished. When Paul came to Lystra, the sixth verse of in the first chapter of the book of Acts, Timothy was already a believer. He was already a disciple. And although the Bible doesn't tell us about his specific salvation experience, you know, we've got Paul's recorded on the road to Damascus. We know about his. We don't have Timothy's recorded like Paul's. But I truly believe from what I have read that Lois and Eunice were instrumental in bringing Timothy to the Lord and finding the Lord precious to his soul. And I want to say this to our mothers today. If not already, you can be a tremendous influence in your children's lives, and you can be a tremendous influence in that of your husbands and in your families. And witness to them based on God's Word. Let your children see Jesus in you. Go to church with your children. You know, I'm glad when I see children come to church, but it saddens my heart when I don't see their parents come with them. And my encouragement is, go to church with them. Go to Sunday school. Go to the worship service. Go to Sunday night. Go to Wednesday night. We've got activities for all the kids. But go with them. Show them how important church is and what goes on in the church and how much it can affect and impact their lives in a special way. And, you know, tell them what Jesus has done for you. It's so important for our children to hear our testimony so that they know that when the time comes that they need Jesus in their lives. And, you know, you need to tell them that you love them. You need to tell them about that, the love that the Lord has for them. You need to tell them that you can't save them, that only Jesus can do that. But you can tell them how to have a relationship with Jesus through a salvation experience. And as I said in the very beginning of my message, you know, I miss my mom. I miss a lot of things that I think might have happened or could have happened. I missed her seeing my children grow up and be a part of them. They were very little when she passed away. They don't remember anything about her, but she would have loved them, and they would have loved her. But I'll tell you this morning, I'm thankful and grateful that she always expressed her love to me. She always demonstrated her love for the Lord. She took me to church. She made sure that I was raised in church. She taught me about Jesus. I'm thankful for the love that I saw that she had. As we sang in this, one of the songs we sang this morning, I remember being in church with my mom and during the prayer time and hearing her pray and cry out to the Lord. And she was praying for me. She was praying that the Lord would save me. And she was praying that after I was saved, that the Lord would watch over my family. And just, I knew that she loved the Lord. And I knew that she loved me. And I knew that she wanted me to love the Lord as she did. And, you know, today I honor her memory. And I am thankful for the 31 years that I was blessed to have her with me. And I'm thankful for all the things that she instilled in me. And I want to say again to all the mothers that are here today, Happy Mother's Day to you. Kids, make sure moms have a good day today. If your mom's not here, but you can pick up a phone and call her and tell her you love her. Tell her how much she means to you. They give 365 days out of the year. They give their love. They sacrifice in so many ways. We take for granted so many things. If moms went on strike, that laundry just might pile up a little bit, and you might starve to death, and you know, you might not get to where you got to get to do something you got to do, and the list can go on and on. We don't recognize and we don't appreciate our moms and our grandmas maybe as much as we should, but I want to say Happy Mother's Day to you. I want to say to all our mothers that are here, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord use you as you give honor and glory to Him and as you fulfill your role that you have. I believe the Scripture says wives and mothers have a role, just as fathers and husbands have a role. I believe the Word of God shares that very clearly with us. But I want to say thank you for being good, godly mothers to your families, and be encouraged by Lois and Eunice and how it affected their son and grandson, and know that the same effects can occur in your families as God uses you to use them. Somebody's got to do what we do. You know, someday I'm going to be gone. Someday many of you are going to be gone. And if the Lord hadn't come back yet, these ones that we're looking at in the congregation today, they're the ones that are going to rise up in church. Church is going to be important to them. They're going to be Sunday school teachers. One of them might be called into the ministry. Might be the pastor here at Crossroads. I don't know. Do you shake your head, Will? I don't know. I'm kidding. We don't know what God's got, but we have to be willing to follow the Lord and do what the Lord has for us to do. That's my message today. My text verse today was, "A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful that she's the mother that she's been to my family and the wife that she's been to me. And, you know, I'm no different probably than a lot of other men. I don't tell her enough how thankful and grateful I am, but I am. And thankful for the mother she's been to my children and the grandmother she is. May God bless you. I hope you mothers have a wonderful day today. I wonder if there might be a word on anyone's heart, maybe one of you kids or somebody might have something you want to say about mom. I want to give you opportunity if you do, young or old. Anybody at all? Okay, Tuesday. All right, let's remember that. Anyone else? Anything on your heart before we bring our service to a close? Gary Pfeiffer, yes. I spoke with him Friday, I think it was, and he's improved, but he's very weak. And he did have a mild heart attack, and they're adjusting some medications and things for Gary Pfeiffer, so let's remember him in prayer. Still remember Brother Leslie as he goes through his treatments as well. any word at all? If not, I appreciate each one that made an effort to come out today. It is good to be back in the house of the Lord, being able to worship together. As I've said in the past, I'm glad we had other avenues in the past where when we were suspended services, we could still worship apart, but still worship. But it's so much better being able to gather together in the house of God. I'm thankful to be a child of God today, thankful for the salvation of my soul. If you're here this morning and unsaved, not only is your mama praying for you, but your pastor and church is praying for you too. I know the Lord will save you if you'll seek Him with all your heart. If there's no other word, we'll stand. It's been a blessing to be in the house of God today. Justin Hargrove, would you dismiss us, please, brother?